Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be back and for another episode of NFL Fantasy Matchup. As usual, I'm with Jed over in Chicago and Jimmy over in Scott or Phoenix, Arizona today. So welcome, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right. As we begin, we're going to talk a little bit about training camp. We're going to have a running back conversation. We'll definitely have to talk about the NBA free agency landscape. But I actually want to start off, and Jim, I'm going to start with you. Did any of you guys watch the Pittsburgh-Dallas Cowboys game, the Hall of Fame game yesterday?
I watched 2 minutes of the game, but I did not pay attention to it.
Yeah, I read a little bit about it. I heard that people were mad that Najee Harris was in so long. He almost played the entire first half, and suddenly people are upset that he might get hurt.
Jim, what did you notice in your first couple of minutes that you did see, or Jed, even some of the notes that you saw coming from the game?
The only thing I heard again is about Harris that, still looking strong. People are still really hyped about him. And basically the Steelers fans were like, get him out of there. They didn't want him injured before the season. But I think if you are, have you been following Harris, and if he's someone you're targeting, there's nothing that's stopping the hype train right now. So you're probably going to have to pay a pretty penny for him or use a high pick. But it could be worth it. He's looking pretty good.
Jim, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Blake Jarwin, Ben Roethlisberger, Juju Smith, Eric Ebron did not play. The only notable person who played was Chase Claypool, caught a 45-yard catch, but for a period of time he was injured. Deontay Johnson caught a couple of passes, but Chase Claypool was clearly the star of the game. Thoughts on that? Any thoughts on that one?
You know, two things that stuck out to me. They said that Dak Prescott, a lot of this is precautionary. So they said he should be fine for the start of the season. And actually, I heard the commentator say a number of times, they were like, Roethlisberger looks pretty good. You know, so they were talking about how he's lost some weight. He looks pretty good. He might, I don't know if they've gone out and said he's going to have a great year. But here's my thing that I was thinking about. You've got three really good receivers, like Claypool, Johnson, as well as also Juju Smith. I think out of all three of them, Claypool has the highest ceiling. I think from a fantasy perspective, I do think Johnson's going to be the best one. But you're right, Najee Harris, he'll be their best fantasy guy on that team.
Well, hey, look, we have a lot of news and notes coming on as the preseason games start coming. I actually want to start and begin our conversation. Jed, I'm going to go over to you. Carson Wentz suffers a foot injury, which he now will have to have surgery, and it looks like he's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks. Some replacement has them trading for Nick Foles, who used to back up Carson Wentz. There's been talks of Phillip Rivers coming out of retirement. Gardner Minshew, what do you think is going to happen? And is Carson Wentz someone you're going to look at to draft?
Oh, no. I was thinking before he could be a late round pickup, but not now after coming off an injury. But yeah, Nick Foles just makes too much sense. But you know, we thought he made a lot of sense going to the Jets too. So I don't know. We'll have to just see. I think if I'm Indianapolis though, they have a real shot. I thought they were kind of under the radar this year. And you know, it could have made some noise, and so yeah. I think they should pull the trigger for someone because they could still be really good.
Don't you think?
Before you say anything, also Quentin Nelson, their star tackle, is also out with the same injury, also 5 to 12 weeks. Go ahead.
Don't you think though, if you were Carson Wentz, having Nick Foles there versus Phillip Rivers, it's just a repeat of Philadelphia all over again, right? He'll be there the entire season. Every time Carson Wentz comes in and he makes a mistake, he knows Nick Foles is sitting there waiting for him, right? Because it happened before. So if I were the Colts, I go after Phillip Rivers because you know he's really only going to be there for a year. And once Carson Wentz is back, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, Phillip Rivers has said that he's currently a high school coach, football coach. He says he's very open to the idea and he hasn't closed the idea of retiring. So, but at the same time, you're right. He's going to be there for a year, but he clearly also had a very good year last year too.
Yeah. The thing that worries me, right? Because if you're looking at the top of the fantasy board, Jonathan Taylor right now is supposed to go in the top 10, maybe even the top 5. I actually do think that with Carson Wentz injured, depending on who the quarterback is, that does change where you want to draft Jonathan Taylor. Because I actually think he'll go lower because you're just not sure where he's going to be at.
Well, for especially those who watch.
Oh, go ahead, Jed.
No, I was going to say, especially because of the injury to the lineman too. I mean, I think that hurts them there. The only thing I'll say to your comment about Rivers versus Nick Foles is, I mean, I think we got to trust the mental fortitude of Carson Wentz a little bit better than that, because I agree that maybe psychologically there's a little bit of something there, but these are professionals, right? They should be able to take that.
For those who are paying attention, second-year quarterback Jacob Eason is the starter until Carson Wentz gets back. And also Quentin Nelson, their all-pro guard, also has the same injury as well, too. All right, let's go over to Devontae Smith, the star first-round wide receiver for Philadelphia. Smith suffers a leg injury that caused him to miss the second half. It looks like he has an MCL sprain. He is expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Jim, does this affect where you draft him this year?
You know, I've been seeing him go off the boards towards the not even the middle rounds, but towards the latter rounds. And to be honest, I just always thought that he was just, I mean, I think he's going to be fast. I don't know if there's going to be much competition in Philadelphia for him, but he's just so small, right? So if I'm going to take a risk on somebody like a Jalen Waddle or a Jamar Chase or a Devontae Smith, I'd much rather take the bigger receivers as a rookie than the smaller receivers, because you're just not sure how they're going to handle it in the NFL.
Hey, Jed, staying in Philadelphia, rumor has it right now that the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans are working and they really want to make this trade for Deshaun Watson happen. Thoughts on that? How much does this hurt Jalen Hurts?
Well, I told you that last time. I thought it made a lot of sense because to me, their style of play is very similar. And so it would be an easy on-off switch. And it's someone that Jalen Hurts could learn from. You know, I honestly, I think if he approaches it the right way, it's not a bad thing. But we just have to see, you know, again, just like you were talking about with Wentz, it depends on their mental fortitude, right? If you take it as, hey, it doesn't matter who comes in, I'm going to get mine, then he should be okay. But we just have to see how they react. And who knows when Watson will even be able to play. Let's really see, like, even if they trade for him, like, what's really going to happen there? Who knows?
Yeah.
Staying in Philadelphia as well, too, per the Philadelphia beat writer, it looks like Boston Scott and Miles Sanders, there's a good chance that both of them will split carries. How excited are you about Miles Sanders based upon that news or potential of that news?
I don't know. I mean, if you look at where Miles Sanders is ranked right now, right? Like, he's ranked around the area where Joe Mixon, Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeAndre Swift, even Dobbins and Daryl Henderson. For me, I'm like, those guys are much better players for me to draft, at least right now, than Miles Sanders. So I'd much rather go after a DeAndre Swift. I'd much rather go after, quite honestly, a J.K. Dobbins or even Edwards-Helaire than right now a Miles Sanders.
Interesting. Hey, we're going to talk more about that in terms of our running back conversation a little bit later as well, too. Switching over, Jed, to my favorite wide receiver, Kenny Galladay exits practice on August 3rd, and it looks like now he's going to miss about 3 weeks. And he will make it in time to be a starter in week one. Thoughts on Kenny Galladay?
You know, we've talked about this before. I love Kenny Galladay. I think he's a supreme talent. It's just the issue is the quarterback play with Daniel Jones. Still not really sold in there. So for me, he's still someone and now coming off an injury, someone that I'm just staying away from. Well, I mean, he, to me, is right on the edge of top 20 wide receivers. So you're talking probably fourth, fifth round, really.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about, Tom and Jed? Actually, because there's only 3 preseason games, you're really not going to get much out of these preseason games, right? Like, this first one, like we saw, all the rookies are going to play maybe 1 or 2 decent players. They might trot them out for the second game and maybe, but they're going to leave them out for the third game as well, too. So really, it's the second game you want to pay attention to, and that's it. The season starts.
Yep, the second game has become what the third game used to be, which is that's the only game that they really do their true dress rehearsal. Yeah. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, because by the third game, they have to start cutting players. So they're going to want to look at all of those fringe players that, quite honestly, they're not really sure about as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, one person in note as well, too, and we don't talk a lot about defensive players, Micah Parsons, first round draft pick for the Dallas Cowboys, their linebacker, did very, very well. So he's someone, if you have a defensive player need on your team, he's someone to draft, especially you could wait later in the rounds. And then from that point on, pick someone like him up as well, too. All right. Another one. Jim, I'm going to go over to you. Marquise Brown. He tweaks his leg, and there looks to be initially a hamstring injury that wasn't believed to be serious. Now they're saying, after evaluation, it is a little more serious than you thought. But at the same time, were you even looking at drafting Marquise Brown in the first place this past year?
You know, the last 2 years, I took a chance on Marquise Brown. His rookie year, he did actually pretty decently. And last year, they said this is going to be his breakout year. And so I remember taking him pretty high. And I was like, you know what? This is not going to work out. And I remember dropping him towards the end. I even wanted to keep him. I thought about picking him up for dynasty leagues, but it's just not worth it. The only thing that might make me hesitant, though, is only because a lot of people are speculating that Lamar Jackson's going to have a really, really good year this year. But here's the thing from a fantasy perspective. Lamar is a runner, and he's a passer, but he's also run first. And so he takes up the bulk of the fantasy points. And so for me, I was like, I'm just not ready to take a chance on those guys who aren't going to give me consistent points every week.
Yeah, Marquise Brown should be a wide receiver 3 on your team. Like, if you can trot him out as your third wide receiver, that's fine. Or as your flex position, I think that's fine. Otherwise, he's not even the number one receiver on his team. Mark Andrews is the number one wide receiver on their team. Yeah. So I totally agree with you there.
But okay, so here's
Mark Andrews and then J.K. Dobbins are probably your two studs. Alongside. Yeah. Other than that, Marquise Brown, even if you play him, he's probably going to be a flex player, and you probably won't even start him very much every week.
Yeah. I mean, okay, going back to even that third player, right? So think about it. Right now, most of the third wide receivers could be like a Tyler Boyd. It could be a Jalen Waddle. It could even be, I'm trying to think who else might be, a Darnell Mooney. And some of those guys actually are pretty consistent from a fantasy perspective than a Marquise Brown at this point.
Yeah. The hard part is you always think there's potential because he is your number one wide receiver over in Baltimore. So you always think he would be good, but he's disappointed. There's been a couple of breakout games in the last couple of seasons, but that's really about it for Marquise Brown. Jed, actually speaking of very, very good players, Calvin Ridley says that he is 100% recovered, but per the beat reporter over at Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Pitts could play everywhere on the Falcons offense. Hey, look, I mean, you have Travis Kelce. Is Kyle Pitts, has he ascended to your number two tight end in your draft?
Oh, that's interesting. Jimmy, you've been doing a lot of the mocks. I'd be curious to hear how high Pitts is going, but I wouldn't say all the way to number two. I mean, don't forget George Kittle. You still got Darren Waller out in Vegas. And even Mark Andrews, who we just mentioned, I think he's right there in that top five. I can see Kyle Pitts definitely top 10, meaning that he should be a starter on one of the teams in your leagues. And maybe he pushes up into top five, but boy, that's getting expensive there for a rookie who we haven't seen.
It's funny, ESPN, their fantasy podcast the other day, I was listening to them, and they were talking about how they've seen a number of people towards the latter rounds pick up both a Kelce and then come back and pick up a Darren Waller. And essentially Max like took the two top tight ends.
And then interesting. Play them every week.
Yeah, because they're saying that they're consistent. They give you those points, and you take it away from potential other competitors who wouldn't have a top tight end right now.
And the other benefit is those guys tend to be cheaper. The tight end position, even the highest guys in the tight end positions, tend to be cheaper than the running backs and wide receivers. That's interesting.
Totally.
Hey, I have one for you guys. So in my keeper league, and you guys know in our keeper league, for the fifth keeper, I had to pick between Mark Andrews, Chris Carson, and J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins.
I bet you did J.K. Dobbins, right?
I did Chris Carson.
Chris Carson? Really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big Chris Carson fan. He's got Oklahoma roots. And so, I believe in Seattle. I'm just, you know, Dobbins, like I said, I mean, I feel like Lamar Jackson gets all the rushing yards there. So we'll have to see. But yeah, it was a tough decision, though.
Yeah.
My concern, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later in this next segment, Chris Carson tends to get injured quite a lot. That's my problem with him.
Yeah.
Injuries concern there always, but you guys know that'd be my running back three, right? So the injuries I wasn't as worried about.
I have been surprised to see where J.K. Dobbins has been landing. People have high expectations for him and DeAndre Swift this year, and even Henderson from L.A.
I would take Swift over J.K. Dobbins. I feel like Swift definitely.
I totally agree.
Yeah, he could be every down back, so I would do that.
Well, not to spoil our conversation of running backs, but let's actually segment over to running backs as well, too. Look, I mean, all of us tend to agree. The easy ones are whether or not in order, Derrick Henry is going to be one of your top three. Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook is probably your top three. After that, there's a lot of different conversations as well, too. Where are you thinking in terms of running backs? After your top three, who's your next favorite one, Jim?
Well, okay, so let me say this, right? So I'm just going to work through the list. If you look through the top running backs, you got Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. So if I had the first two picks, that's who I'm going to go with. But then the next group of people, you're going to have Barkley, Henry, Kamara, Taylor, Elliott, and Chubb. I do think that there's a lot of, not concerns, but there's a lot of hesitations. Barkley, I don't know how long he's going to be in. Derrick Henry, they usually try to reserve him until the end of the year. And with all those receivers, are they going to be more of a run past? Chubb, he's sharing a lot of time with Kareem Hunt. Elliott, you're not really sure where he's going to be. Jonathan Taylor, you're not sure where he's going to be. And Alvin Kamara with the quarterback situation, right? So my argument has been, if I had the third, fourth, or fifth pick, do I want to take a risk on one of those guys, or do I go straight for the receivers because no one else is looking at them, or even a Patrick Mahomes as well too?
Yeah, no, I think Alvin Kamara is the head and shoulders above that out of that crew. Well, I first of all, I think Derrick Henry is in top three, just like you said, Tommy. Henry is a stud, and with that, to me, the additional Julio Jones actually opens up even more for Henry. They essentially can't key in on Henry as much. So
you don't think they'll turn into a run a pass first offense because of that?
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
not with Mike Vrabel as a coach.
Yeah, so I think Henry is a lock for top three. So me, it's about the fourth pick. But even there, I like Kamara a lot because regardless of the quarterback situation, they're going to have to rely more on the running game. And specifically, I mean the passing running game, not like, strict handoffs. We're talking like, screens and pitch plays. And so I think Kamara is going to have a great year. The next one after that is Chubb. I'm definitely on the hype train for the Browns. And so I'd want to, if you can get a player on the Browns offense, and Chubb has been a stud, even with Kareem Hunt last year, he basically solidified that, hey, even if Kareem Hunt's here, I'm still the guy. So to me, that's pretty impressive.
Okay, but Jed, let me ask you, going back to Alvin Kamara, here's my concern with Kamara, and let me play devil's advocate. Taysom Hill may start off as your starting quarterback, run first quarterback with a pretty weak arm. Next thing you know, Devontae Freeman yesterday signs a one-year deal with the Saints. So now you have Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, and Alvin Kamara. Does that deter you? Does that affect your thought process in any way?
No, I don't think Taysom Hill is winning it. I think it's going to be Winston. I just don't see how he is every game, every down quarterback. I think, again, the whole benefit is that he is this change of pace. And so the minute you put him in there consistently, the guy's going to get killed. And how do you keep Winston behind him? I think that's who's going to win out, but we'll see.
The only problem sometimes I see outside of Derrick Henry, if you look at some of the top lists of these running backs, all of them have missed time. They've never survived an entire season, right? And so I look at that and just say, if you're going to go that route, you're going to have to make sure you find some really good backup running backs. And so for me, especially if they have so many questions already, it does make me relook and rethink a strategy in fantasy.
Well, Jimmy, okay. you talked about the no running back strategy, right? Which I've never heard of. So I could see it though. Maybe this year it's the no running back strategy for the first like three or four picks, which is a little crazy, but maybe doable.
Yeah.
Jim, let me ask you a quick question. Let's say you get the fifth or sixth pick. Ezekiel Elliott is sitting there. Are you going to pick Ezekiel Elliott, or would you bypass him and go with Travis Kelce, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, or Calvin Ridley?
Okay, no, that's actually a really good question because I've run some scenarios through mocks. This is why I do late at night, right? You could go after Ezekiel Elliott, but what if you decide to go after Tyreek Hill? You come back around, you can then get a Travis Kelce, and then you still have your options of a DK Metcalf and possibly a DeAndre Hopkins. And so you're walking away with a Kelce, a Hill, and a DeAndre versus, let's say, an Ezekiel Elliott and a DeAndre. I'd much rather take the three receivers or the two receivers and tight end than Ezekiel. And that's just how I look at it.
You killed Tommy with the Tyreek Hill reference there, man. There's no way he's doing that.
No. Jet, let me ask you a quick question. Look at Antonio Gibson. He made large strides last year. Last year, he only had two games with over 100 rushing yards. But at the same time, head coach Ron Rivera expects a big step from Gibson in 2021, and he's supposed to have a better offense. What do you think about Antonio Gibson?
Oh, I love Antonio Gibson. So, and this is why I hate doing this show, because everyone here is all my sleepers. But like him and Calvin Ridley, I think are being severely undervalued. Those are two players that I've been targeting. And yes, I love Gibson. If you can get Gibson, he's going even in the third round, which to me is insane. I think the Redskins are going to be one of the hot teams this year. Their defense is amazing. The offense is going to take strides with Fitzmagic back there. And so I'm a big believer in Gibson. I totally agree with you. He's being undervalued.
Okay, would you pick Gibson over a Austin Eckler, where last year he did pretty well with Justin Herbert, but he also missed six games in 2020 with a health hamstring injury? Or would you also look at a Josh Jacobs? So if you had a choice between Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, as well as Austin Eckler, which one would you choose?
Yeah, I'm not an Eckler fan. The Josh Jacobs one, that one would give me a little bit of pause. I like Josh Jacobs, but, you know, he's sharing time now, too, with
Kenyon Drake,
the guy from Arizona. Yeah, Kenyon Drake. So I would still stick with Gibson in that scenario. Again, I'm a big fan. I think I expect continued strides for him and for just the Washington offense as a whole, which is what I'm bounding on.
Jim, before I ask you anything, one thing to know for some of you guys who are stack guys is – Jacobs finished as running back 8 in 2020. He scored between 10,000 and 21,000 fantasy points in about 11 games. But they did sign Kenyon Drake in the offseason, and the Raiders lost four of their highest graded blockers from the last year. So now they're rebuilding their offensive line. So that's something to note about Josh Jacobs. Jim, but let me ask you, how high is Najee Harris? We talked about Najee Harris in yesterday's game. How high is he going in your draft?
Right now, I've been seeing that he's really going in the top 10 of the running backs, usually around before or around where Joe Mixon and Austin Eckler is going. So I actually really do like Najee Harris. The other people that I would rather take before Josh Jacobs is actually I would really even consider Javonte Williams, the rookie out of Denver. I might also take a David Montgomery before I would consider a Josh Jacobs, to be honest.
Interesting. Hey, Jen, Joe Mixon. I personally don't like Joe Mixon. And look, the Cincinnati Bengals is coming from where Joe Burrow is coming back from an injury. They have not looked good so far in practice. Joe Mixon averages in last year 15.8 fantasy points per game. Are you even interested in Joe Mixon?
This is hard for me because he's an Oklahoma guy. So I want to like him, but I feel like some of the injury concerns plus the lack of consistency has been an issue. But 15 points, that's pretty impressive. That's actually higher than what I was expecting you to say. But he's right on that outside edge of the top 10 running backs, which means he's probably in like the third, you know, roughly the third round. Again, I would take a Gibson over a Joe Mixon. I would take an Eckler over a Mixon. So I think I would push him down a little bit further than that. But, you know, Cincinnati's an interesting team. I mean, I heard the preseason chatter is that they have not looked good. That was a team that I was really kind of hoping would turn the corner a little bit because you know that they're going to be in a lot of shootouts, so there should be a lot of points available. But we just got to see if that offense doesn't come together, then it could be a problem.
I mean, look at, okay, so I know we're talking about running backs, but remember when Joe Burrow played at the beginning of the season when he wasn't injured? He had like two or three games where he scored tons, right? And so you would think this year with Tyler Boyd, with T. Higgins, and also with Jamar Chase, I just don't know if Joe Mixon is the running back that they really want, because he quite honestly has not been dependable from, or at least at the place where you would want him to be.
Yep. Jim, let me ask you a quick question. If you had a chance between, let me read it to two players. Daryl Henderson, last year through the first five games in 2020, as the Rams lead back, Henderson averaged 13.2 fantasy points. Now with the injury of Cam Akers, he is now ascended to the top running back. Now compare that to Mike Davis, who did a spectacular job in front of Christian McCaffrey, and now he's with the Atlanta Falcons. Who would you pick, Daryl Henderson or Mike Davis?
Okay. Well, I actually like both of them, but I would prefer Mike Davis at this point more than Daryl Henderson. The thing about Daryl Henderson, though, is if you look at those fantasy points, yes, he scored 13 points per game, but a lot of those games he was sharing with Malcolm Brown. In the games where he did not share those carries with Malcolm Brown, I think it was one or two games where it was just him, that almost doubled in terms of fantasy points. So for me, I'm like, there's a lot of value in Daryl Henderson. Not to say I'm trying to push this no running back strategy, but for me, I'm like, look, if I can get a Mike Davis and a Daryl Henderson or a DeAndre Swift as my two or three running backs, I'm good. I'd be really happy with any of those guys.
Yeah, and those are all starters, so you're getting major carries. So that's a big thing. I actually like Henderson over Davis. I do like Davis. I'm just more up on the Rams than I am on Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta's on the downturn, and so I'm worried about just how things are going to shake out there. And, you know, obviously I do like Calvin Ridley still, but I think – you know, let's just see what our guy Stafford does, you know, with the Rams. I think it's going to be, you know, maybe not quite the Tom Brady effect, but something similar where everyone's going to be juiced up. That team is going to be pretty good, in my opinion.
Hey, my friend Noah is a huge Rams fan. He was coming in. He pays attention all the time, Rams. He was sitting there. The players love Matthew Stafford. He is being raved about in practice because he does the throws so well.
Oh, yeah, that offense is going to look totally different. People are going to realize Jared Goff is not a great quarterback. He's had his moments, but Matt Stafford is on a whole different level. And so I think people are going to – people have been – you know, really, it's, I feel bad for Matthew Stafford. Think about it. People don't understand. This guy is a stud quarterback. I mean, to me, he's got Hall of Fame numbers. So let's see if – you know, let's just see what happens.
Jim, before you say anything, we're running out of time. I actually want to ask Jed something, and I want to talk a little bit about sleeper running backs as well, too. Raheem Mostert last year in 2020, he battled knee and ankle injuries, but at the same time, he was on pace to finish as a top 10 fantasy running back. I love Raheem Mostert. I personally do. Injuries scare me. What do you think of Raheem Mostert?
Oh, yeah. I like, actually, again, you picked another one of my sleep. So another one of my storylines for this year is the 49ers. Do not sleep on the 49ers players, wide receivers included. They had serious injuries last year. I think it was like they were up to like seven lost starters before even the one-third point or the quarter point of the season. So Raheem Mostert, total stud. I am a believer in the backfield. You know the 49ers running game is always going to be strong. Mostert is someone I would love to have him sitting as my running back three or my flex position, someone I could get in the late rounds.
Yeah. You know who everybody really loves on the 49ers? Brandon Ayuk. Everyone always says that this is going to be a breakout year for him.
I like Debo Samuel over him, but yeah, I could see that.
Jim, going back to the running backs as well, too, let me switch over to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Is, look, everyone looks at James Robinson. He did a great job. He was a stud running back, a sleeper that came out of nowhere. But now they drafted Travis Etienne in the first round. He was a star running back for Clemson, and he just did a very good job. Now, his coach did say he's going to be a purely receiving back only. Do you buy it, or are you not even drafting James Robinson because of this?
No, you know what? I have James Robinson in one of my sleeper leagues. I'm about to drop him because I do think at some point Travis Etienne is going to take over the starting running back position. So if I was now redrafting for a dynasty league and Travis Etienne is out there, actually I would take him because I actually think that at some point they're going to try to get rid of James Robinson, partly because Etienne has that relationship with a new quarterback. And actually, I think he has a higher ceiling too.
Got it. Thoughts, Jed, or
Amy? No, I'm just curious why they haven't traded Robinson yet. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm surprised. But if they say they're going to use, let's see if they really stick to using him as a third down back or not.
I don't know. Urban, you know, Urban Meyer, he's always just throwing stuff out there just to kind of, you know, say things. I don't know if you can fully ever really trust what he's going to say.
In training camp this week, he says Carlos Hyde and James Robinson will be your early down back. ETN is purely your catching back out of the backfield. So who knows what's going to happen with that?
I forgot they have Carlos Hyde, too. Don't sleep on that guy. That guy can play.
Carlos Hyde. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, seriously, I mean, going back, like, if I was drafting today for a dynasty league, the players I would really go after, ETN, I would go after Javonte Williams. I would go after Trey Sermon, the new San Francisco running back. I go after AJ Dillon and Michael Carter. I think those are the guys you want to go after.
Dude, well, Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon, man. Don't forget, that guy had a 300-yard game. That's insane.
Well, Jed, I was just going to ask you, the last one that Jimmy mentioned, Michael Carter from New York Jets. The Jets have clearly become a better team, and he looks like he will be in line to be your starting running back. Is he someone you're drafting early?
So for years, I have had a do not draft a Jets player rule, and I'm still not changing that yet. I agree. There's some exciting things happening. I guess for me, it's a prove it season to see, but I'm staying away. Actually, all the New York teams, I'm not really up on them.
I really like A.J. Dillon from Green Bay. I actually think that he'll do some good stuff. I know that Aaron Jones is out there, but based off of what he did last year, I really like A.J. Dillon.
Yep. Two more sets before we wrap up. Jim, number one, James Conner or Chase Edmonds?
Chase Edmonds. So I just think that he can receive. They'll try to use him. I think they have more comfort with Chase Edmonds.
Yeah. Jed, are you even looking at Philip Lindsay or David Johnson?
Phil Lindsay or No, I'm not looking at either. No, I think we mentioned several other guys that I would look at before. That's pretty far down in my mind. You're talking like past into the, you know, eighth and ninth rounds before you're thinking there.
Jim, let me ask you a question, especially with your, if you were to draft old wide receivers, tight ends, all of that in the early rounds, you suddenly have Philip Lindsay, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, Devin Singletary, James Conner, Leonard Fournette. Which ones would you like? Which ones would be your star?
You know what? Honestly, I've kind of thought through some of this, right? If I took a lot of really good receivers early on, the people I would take, I would really then go after from a running back standpoint is Mike Davis, Trey Sermon, Javonte Williams, Zach Moss, and maybe like you're hoping that Alexander Mattison might do well as too, you know. So that's maybe even a James White from New England might be somebody I might bring in just to kind of add in some points as well too, because you're hoping that all they're doing is getting somewhere between like in the teens, 14, 15 points. And so those guys I think are capable of doing that.
Hey, don't sleep on Ronald Jones of Tampa either. That guy tricked a lot of people last year, and everyone was worried about Leonard Fournette, and he held on, and man, he scored some serious points.
You know who they have on Tampa Bay though? Giovanni Bernard.
Oh, right.
Here's my only issue with Ronald Jones. I agree. I just think if you've got Giovanni Bernard, they always put him at the goal line, right? So is Ronald Jones going to lose those points to Giovanni Bernard? And I can see him doing well in a Brady-type offense.
Yeah. Well, one thing to know about Ronald Jones, Jen and Jim, this is where I love having a someone who sits there and compiles stats. Here's what our intern wrote is, when Ronald Jones played 50% or more of the snaps in 2020, he averaged 110 yards and 5 touchdowns in total of those 7 games. that was pretty good. And so Ronald Jones, maybe a sleeper coming out with Leonard Fournette. Now, I still love Leonard Fournette in the backfield in terms of the red zone, but Ronald Jones might be taking a step forward this year.
Hey, remember, is Leonard Fournette the one that he didn't play in the Super Bowl, right? He didn't get a single carry. So that tells you something about who Tom Brady trusts.
Yeah.
I will probably say is Leonard Fournette did get, in 4 weeks of the preseason, he did average 21.7 points per game.
Yeah. So here's my thing, right? Sometimes I look at it from a running back standpoint. If you look at certain players, like the ones in Atlanta, at the beginning of the season, they always do really well from a fantasy perspective. Think about Julio, Calvin Ridley. Towards the end of the season, a lot of these guys disappear. And so for me, sometimes I was like, okay, who are some of the players who you think are going to do really well? You know, draft those guys, but at halfway of the season, trade them and bring in somebody else to do well. Because I think last year, if you think about it, Leonard Fournette, his average fantasy score was somewhere between 14 to 18 points. And he actually was a really good running back pickup for you. So whereas Ronald Jones earlier was better.
I remember last year I kept picking up injured players. That really, really helped me in the playoffs when I started trading them or they got healthy.
I mean, like this year, I know I can see Tommy going after the Michael Thomases and the Deshaun Watsons of the world, hoping that they'll do really well towards the end, but they're not going to give you much at the beginning.
Yep. Hey, last thing before we wrap up, Jim, let me ask you, Bulls trade. Bulls sign DeMar DeRozan. They signed and trade with DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and they signed, what's his name, Caruso. What do you think of those guys?
So I think that, look, they're a playoff contender. I still think they're number 4 to maybe 7 in the Eastern Conference. What for me, what's going to determine where they really end up is what are they going to do with Lauri Markkanen, right? How are they going to trade him to get a big man to come in to help them with the shot blocking and the rebounds along with Vujicic. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I was impressed. My oldest son came running down and said, "Dad, I'm going to get a Ball jersey. I'm getting a Ball jersey." And then like a few minutes later, "Wait, no, I'm going to get a Caruso jersey." So it definitely sparked interest. You know, I think the big thing to me is this shows that Chicago can still be a destination for free agents. We're still, I think, one piece short of really being in the serious, discussions. Yeah, but I think they're a lock for the playoffs. I would even say 4 to 6, 4 and 5, I think are very possible. But this sets them up well. Chicago, the front office, you know, this is a crew that's being aggressive. They're showing they want to win again. And so it's exciting. It's an exciting time, I feel like, for this next couple of years for the Bulls.
Okay, Jimmy was just talking about Lauri Markkanen. You know who I think would be a great trade partner just because they're trying to get rid of that guy? Miles Turner out of Indiana.
Oh, Indianapolis. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. They've been trying to get rid of Miles Turner. If you could figure out a way to trade Markkanen and someone else for Miles Turner, because he can't match up well with Sabonis, that would be so good.
Yeah. No, that's true. I totally, and that's the thing you've realized about these Bulls guys, right? They were making fun of the other regime on ESPN radio the other day, and they were saying, you know, Pax and Gar, they would end up trading these players or drafting these players, but they would never do anything with it. The one thing you find about these guys right now is they figure out how to bring in the right players and use the cap space to their advantage.
Yeah. Jed, I know you don't pay attention to baseball, or actually Jim more so. You pay attention more to baseball. What about the Cubs getting rid of all their players?
Oh, it looks like he's frozen. I'll say that I lost all my jerseys, so I don't have any Cubs jerseys now that I can use with the exodus. So we'll see what happens. I'm hopeful that they're stockpiling and getting ready for another turnaround, but we'll see.
I don't know. They just didn't get much out of these. I mean, and I think they got the best they could, right? Because all these guys are going to be free agents. But they didn't get more than they should have. I think they did this 1 year too late.
No, but at the same time, if you listen to Keith Law, who I love reading, who evaluates all of the minor league players, he graded the Cubs picks very, very highly. He said they did very well in terms of their picks, especially the guy they traded Rizzo for, the 18-year-old guy over in New York. He has the potential, Alcantara, to be really good. So, but he's still young at 18 years old. Yeah. Hey, one little thing before for you guys to watch this weekend. If you get a chance, if you have Paramount Plus, they have a documentary. I think it's an 8-part documentary on the 92 Olympic Dream Team. You got to watch it. I was watching part one. It was very, very good.
So if you haven't watched already, the practice game from the 92 Olympic team,
yeah,
that is a classic. Like, go back and watch the footage. They have this grainy footage of that practice session. A lot of people say that's the best basketball game ever played.
Tom, now, is it Paramount or is it Peacock? I think it's Peacock.
No,
right?
Paramount Plus.
Paramount? Really?
It,
okay.
It just came out this past week. Paramount Plus. Yeah. And in terms of the grainy footage, Jed, I've seen it on YouTube. So if you get a pickup game, Dream Team, you find it on YouTube as well, too. All right. Next week, we are talking about tight ends. We're doing all that stuff. So most likely, we'll come back on next Friday. And after that, hey, some of you guys are all preparing for your drafts. And sooner or later, we'll be back twice a week. All right.
Talk soon, everyone. Doing a mock draft sometime in the next few weeks, too.
Yeah. Next Saturday, we're doing mock drafts.
Yep.